loves ash on his face. He looked at him, and he thought this man caught his attention. This lecture professor thought this person is most probably deranged, mentally dysfunctional. He would again and again see this person, sometimes on the steps to the Radharaman temple, sometimes at Bhakti Bihari's temple, and always he would see this man who is so disheveled and who looks really like a gypsy, must be a very disturbed individual. But again and again the man came to his lecture, sat down at the edge, heard him. Now once, this famous lecturer, it just happened one year ago, met this gypsy-looking like man, fancy dress and so on the steps of Shaji, another temple, big steps. And he just took the courage, this lecturer, said, I have seen you a few times. Who are you? Now, this man, who looked really like a fool from the street, answered in perfect Sanskrit. And then he asked the lecturer a question from the Bhagavatam. The lecturer was not able to answer this question. It was too complicated. It required a lot of study in order to give an answer which he couldn't give. And the lecturer was, you know, India, this means something. If someone asks you in Sanskrit a question you can't answer, it means you are defeated. You actually would have to become the disciple of this. He said, who are you? And the man smiled at him, looked very relaxed, and he said, I'm such and such scholar. Oh, yeah, but we all thought you were missing. We thought you were kidnapped. I just understood. If I go on with this upadhi, with this designation, I'm a scholar here, I'm trying to do what you do, that is impress people with my little knowledge to get their recognition that I'm a scholar, I will never get Krishna Bhakti. I want Krishna Bhakti. For that, I have to give up all these labels and so on. And please don't tell anyone who I am. I want to be a humble servant. So in spiritual life, these upadhis or these designations, which are absolutely necessary for a materialist to feel that he has an identity in this world, are unnecessary. They are to be given. They are given home. If you want, of course, if you want to find a spirit or something behind it, well, then you are someone. So you need to feel as being someone. But this should be done free from material identifications. You want to be a servant of Krishna, small 10,000 at the tip of the so your sense of self worth, live it properly, otherwise you will be frustrated in your spiritual life.
Dreaming about future. Some people think that Srila Prabhupada did not speak about subconsciousness, but actually he does, calling it treasure hole of the mind. Treasure hole of the mind, subconsciousness. He says all impressions from this life, but also from previous lives, are situated in threshold of the mind, and they sometimes appear in dreams. How is it with advanced devotees? Can they see in dreams future events, and can they be about the spiritual world? Can they be in the spiritual world? In the dreams, spiritual world. Hmm. Not advanced devotee, I can't answer that. How is it with the advanced devotees? It's not a matter of advanced and not advanced, and as far as the answer to this question is, I think it's up to Krishna. If Krishna wants to bring a person into a certain realization through dreams or consciousness, he can do that. I don't really see it's something, you know, there are great devotees who don't have what we say, you know, dreams or quality. Maybe they do, but they don't talk about them. For me to give an answer to this, we can do a lot of what we say, philosophical speculation. Whether we'll come up with a conclusion or not, it's really hard to say. Is there any scriptural references within this? Krishna can appear within the mind of anyone. And sometimes we see he does that with apparently someone who is not so spiritually positioned, or someone who is not seen as someone spiritually advanced, and maybe a new person. So it's not a matter of, I was thinking of one example. But maybe Maharaj, you can take care of this question, because it's a little beyond it.
I would say, I've studied this subject, but Maharaj has given one. We need to be brief here. So you can see me with this question after this. I will keep it. No.
I believe in you answer.
No. Maharaj, as we won't have any more evening katha, could you tell us a pastime? Where does Balaram have only one earring? Yeah, very sad. That is for me. I have to be very honest. The one earring pastime is in the Bhagavatam, when Balaram returns to Vrindavan and met the gopis. You heard that. Pastime. In the Bhagavatam, Balaram's return to Vrindavan, it is there. We have heard about this pastime in the evening. So there it is said that he wears this one earring, and the reason is he wants to send the message with this one earring. Oh gopis, you will soon have yoga or unity, oneness with Krishna, in the sense of meeting Krishna. You will meet him. So don't worry, this is what he says. But since you all want to hear about the one earring, then Balaram appears in this world as Nityananda. He also has only one. And there is an explanation about it, which we studied with Martha, Mary, and Kishore. We actually were totally crazy after, why does Nityananda have one earring? Here is the reason. When Karna fired his arrow at Arjuna, it was charged with the presence of a mystical snake called Ashwasena. And Karna had kept that I need to come to the hearing. That arrow very carefully in his arsenal. Very, very carefully. Very carefully. So Krishna knew when the arrow came, this is the death of Arjuna. I have to now do something which is called fighting with unfair means. So what he did is he pressed his whole weight on the terrace of the chariot. He went from his driver's position and kneeled down like this. And he pressed the chariot down on the ground, and the horses went all down by Krishna's weight, because Krishna has all the living entities in his transcendental existence. So the chariot did something which ordinarily chariots don't do. They just went down, and the arrow with Ashvasena came racing, and instead of cutting Arjuna's head by the neck, it just went, you know, because Arjuna also went down, it kicked down the crown, so Karna could have his little victory, that once he somewhat defeated Arjuna. But now this arrow went, where should I go? I need to kill today. I need to kill. I need to kill. With that Ashvasena and so on. That arrow bent to Bengal, near Ikha Chakra, and it there the snake demon lived. And whenever this hungry snake demon, whenever some people came by, then the snake demon would come out and swallow the people and kill the cows and so on. This Ashvasena, he lived for many, many, many centuries there, until Lord Nityananda appeared. So Lord Nityananda was informed about this. Actually, no, the snake demon, it was from another arrow. I told you about the wrong arrow, but I can't tell you now a big story about the other arrow. I made a mistake. There was a snake demon, which is a mystical being, because these arrows are charged mystically, and it has to do with something like the black arts, but it is still alright. It is not yet within black magic. They are these Kshatriya things, you know, very dangerous. So he would always eat and eat and eat and eat. It was an arrow from Arjuna, but I can't tell you now the long story, because we don't have the time. And then Lord Nityananda heard. Nitai, said the people, there is this demon who eats cows, people, children. Can you do something about it? Lord Nityananda went there, smiling like a demon, and he took one of his earrings and he put it on the hole where that snake lived. And that earring grew and became like a big stone in the shape of an earring. And the demon couldn't come out, because it couldn't bypass the earring of Lord Nityananda. If you go there today, you see that the people are still taking care of that poor Astra, the demon, you know, the poor Astra person, by making regular offering. But it's now, the earring has grown, it is such a big monster earring, you know, which keeps the dangerous being at its place. So that's why Nityananda has one ear, Balaram for another, but they share this habit of having one earring only. Maybe now our Matajis will also be inspired by the Balaram Katha, and also be a one earring, meaning I only believe that connection with Krishna will make me happy. Thank you.
Well, I just follow around and have 1 year. Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj. We hear two instructions regarding chanting. Chanting as praying to the divine couple to engage us in their service. And the second one is just to chant and hear every syllable of Maha Mantra. It appears or looks contradictory. To pray to the divine couple as a mood in the mood of chanting, and to hear nicely the syllables of the Maha Mantra. This appears to be contradictory. And then there's a continuation of the question. In the first case, calling to be engaged in service, when we are calling someone, we usually do not try to hear ourselves. In the second case, we are instructed to just hear the Maha Mantra. Looks like two different activities, how to combine them. One is calling and one is praying to the divine couple. Or hearing. So when you speak, you call, you don't hear. It's nice to hear yourself when you talk, because you know what everybody else is hearing at the same time. And then when you realize what you sound like, you might decide to change. So, Prabhupada speaks about the Maha Mantra and how to chant the Maha Mantra properly. He gives us two very continuous, and what we say, basic instructions. One is to hear. He said chanting means to hear. And someone said, Prabhupada, what about my mind? He said, what is this mind thing? Just hear. He rejected the idea of trying to control the mind. He said, by hearing, the mind becomes controlled. And the second is that he also talks about that in the Maha Mantra itself, the word, the mantra is actually a calling. It's a supplication. It's a position of being very subordinate and calling out for the help of Krishna, or the help, asking for his mercy. So the mood of chanting is the mood of, what we say, submission. And the mood of submission takes the mood of calling. Please, O Hari, O Hare, Hara, Hara, comes into Hare. Hara is the actual statement, and Hare is the vocative. So as Prabhupada said, O Mother Krishna, calling Mother Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So it's a mood for calling. And a mood for hearing at the same time. So we have to combine both calling and hearing. And it's not contradictory. First, we might practice the mood of hearing, trying to hear. And as hearing becomes more and more recognized within our consciousness, we can start to develop more and more of the mood of calling. Of course, you might start off with the mood of calling and then hope that you can hear from that calling. If you're calling from the heart, Krishna will hear you. That's actually the mood of chanting, is to call from the heart. As we hear from the devotees who are conducting the kirtans, especially Madhavan, we always talk about connecting, and Sachinanda Maharaj also very much, connecting the voice with the heart, and connecting the heart with the voice. So we can practice that more and more in our japa. That when we're actually chanting, we're actually speaking or bringing that mood from the heart, because the mood of chanting is the mood of devotion, and the heart is the seat of all emotions. So practice both. And I don't think they're at all what we say opposite each other or contradictory. It's just a matter of practicing both. Already have the blend, the mood of calling and the mood of hearing together.
Well, that's it.
Very good answer. Why does Lord Balaram have only one earring? How many earrings does Nityananda Prabhu have? Your answer has been already given, but I'm very happy that you I'm very happy that you heard the katha with great attention. Very nice, very nice. Let her know when you write questions, you can't know that someone wrote the same questions you. If I identify with my body, that then my all feeling, thinking, and doing go wrong. Well, if you identify with your body, you will have unquenchable sexual desires and lose all your peace. If you identify with your mind, we talk about thinking, feeling, and all that. Now, what is then? Oh, yeah. You will become fearful and suffer from panic. If you identify with your intelligence, my dear devotee, what happens is that you will, at the end, become bitter and frustrated. And if you try to control others, you will experience all these things. Material desires, panic and fear, and existential bitterness. Because the world doesn't go the way you want it to go, and others especially not. So, yes, when you identify wrongly, everything is wrong. I know about my time when I lived on an island in Fehmarn. There was a person who thought he was Napoleon. He had one hand always like this, and he pulled a toothbrush on a little rope behind him. I asked him once, who was this? This is Napoleon's dog. So at the end, this person who really suffered from wrong identification was not Napoleon. This was not a dog, but something else. He did everything all wrong. But, my dear devotees, there is light at the end of the tunnel. To some degree, we are all still identified with body and mind. What you should do, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in this situation, you should transfer the wrong sense of I am as much as possible to the right sense of I am. The wrong sense of I am is something in relationship to body, mind, and intelligence, which will then inform all your thinking and feeling in the wrong way. The right way is, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Try to think this, and more important, act upon this as much as possible. Then you will see how the portions of the wrong in identification will decrease and the right identity will appear. It's just like if you bring light into a dark room, you will see how the light will dispel the darkness. The more light you bring, the less darkness you will find in your room, until finally all the corners of the room are lit with a beautiful light. Self-realization doesn't go
in the flesh for most of us, from one day to the next, self-realized. We have to patiently work by increasing the light of knowledge, and then everything will be as clear to you that the light increases. So do this in bits and pieces by patiently following the instructions on sadhana which you have heard many times. This is a long project to stop long identification.
External people and those who are more contemplative leave us. So external means people who are more on the shallow side, more and those who are more contemplative, more thoughtful. One, what can we do to stop being external devotees? Two, what can we as individuals and movement do to keep those who are contemplative?
See, people always look for like-minded association. There are discourse in this world. Some have people who are dressed in black, they're called groupies, and they attract, of course, other groupies. They don't attract hippies. Hippies go to where the old hippie songs are played. The man is a social animal. Now, our group, our Hare Krishna movement, will attract also people who are like-minded. We conduct ourselves serious, then we will definitely attract serious people. I can see this when I study the guru phenomena in this kind. There, you can see certain gurus have a every guru has a way how he lives. And how he preaches Krishna consciousness. Yes, he puts a certain emphasis in this way, and he will attract like-minded people who are attracted to this message. And I do remember when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was around us, he would choose a very often a psychological approach to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and attract the doctors, professionals, also with his books, experience the world, spiritual barrier, and that is very natural. There is other gurus may put other emphases on that. Their presentation of Krishna consciousness. And I find it a strength because in this way many individuals can be attracted to Krishna consciousness. We have devotees who present the way they feel they can best present it. The message from Srila Prabhupada. So this is very normal. This I have studied. And you can also see sometimes that you must be a so-and-so disciple. Are you? And he goes, how did you know? Well, I know your guru. I have trained this person. When I was younger, I looked at people and said, you must be so-and-so. And often I was right. Because you can see by external features, by the way they conduct, and some say I'm just your humble servant. You know, this is a rather man. You find other things, other.
Yeah, three or four names that means you're Jack the Taco Man.
So there is a way of knowing. So this principle, which we in our small little universe called the Hare Krishna movement have observed, is also happening as a movement itself conducts and presents itself. When we have, we need to see what messages we send to the people, and we will we will attract like-minded people. And there's a lot of discussion. There is a burning need to overlook to look over our presentation in the public. There are severe discussions. Some of them are not pleasant in the movement. Where we see we have done many mistakes in the past, and we have attracted the wrong type of people. I was once in Cologne, just to give you something, and I was taking the car to go to somewhere. It was just inhumanly early. It was very early in the morning. And then I met a person, and he said, "There's a sect live here." And I asked, no, it's not right. Are you not also like a member of the sect? No, it's not a sect, you are wrong, it's an ancient tradition. No, it's a Hare Krishna, no? To those who do on the street, huh? He was an intelligent man. Well, what impression do you have of us? I know it's an ancient tradition. I read a lot of literature because it is not in so easy process. You have to be a little closer. No, that's not right. You are a sect, and I want to be with you because there are women and men living in one house, and I happen to be a little bit adventurous in regards to ladies. I would like to join that. So I told him, you go the other way. So if we want to attract such people, and we would do one thing, and we would, what I want to say is you have to really see who you are, you have to live that. And many times in our movement, because we have so many young devotees, and they don't understand what is Krishna consciousness, and then they present it in wrong ways, and we attract the wrong people. So I think by you coming to the to something serious where you want to understand how to change the properly, you are on a way to betterment. These devotees who offer retreats all over the world, that is their contribution to the movement. They want to make the devotees deeper. They want them to understand what is the treasure, how to practice it, and then only we will, these devotees will be outside, and they will attract proper people. That is my own dedication, and I'm a small man, much more qualified for that. Yes. We have not much more time, but it's such a good session. My God.
Can I really have hope that I can have Krishna, Hare Krishna, in the center of my life while I'm in? Can I really have hope that I have Krishna in the center of my life while I am parent, householder, who needs to work, and so on? Yeah, there's no restrictions for ashram. There are four ashrams, and each ashram means place of spiritual cultivation. And actually, we see that the majority, large majority, of our members worldwide are Grihasthas, with family, children, and many times occupations. So, yeah, it's a matter of following the principles of ashram and following the instructions of the spiritual master and learning how to take instructions from senior devotees in order to be able to apply the principles according to your particular situation. Although we may be grihasthas, still there is still differences in our social environment, our development, culture, country, so many things, needs. So the upcoming, Croatian camp is about congregational development. And my seminar is on the four goals of family life. So I hope to address this in a very extensive way next week or so. But if we take instructions from our spiritual master and also learn from examples from those who are grihasthas, who are practicing what we say progressively, we can also take inspiration and also take information from them on how to do that. I think the basic problem is that devotees are living in what we say a very isolated way. We have our family, and that seems to be the problem. When we develop more of a community based on our ashram of Grihastha, I think a lot of our difficulties and, we say, obstacles that come by way of not living that way will be eliminated. So I think as we move closer to what Prabhupada wanted us in terms of the lifestyle, I think it'll be a lot more easier to practice Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. How do devotees' association remove our anarchas? In which way will that take place? When you are associated with devotees, a few things take place which will help you to become free from anarthas. In the beginning, when you are with devotees, you will naturally, they will act as mirrors, in other words. You will see, oh, here is Shantamoni Maharaj, he is Sarota Prabhu, he is Sutra. He's so kind, and I see whenever I'm next to him, I'm such a nasty controller. Want to show that I know better. This, but I'm going to hear you, that's all. Because you know, if I'm not, I'll get chastised.
No devotee will like to be praised by him. But let us here to stay on the point. You will look in the mirror and you will compare yourself naturally. You will see yourself. If you're honest, you will definitely see room for improvement is there. Or imagine looking at Maharaj coming in here. I just see him coming in very tolerant,
unpretentious,
just a nice devotee. You will see, I will also become better. You know, you immediately feel inspired by the wonderful qualities. Now, another way, let's go a little bit deeper now. How does devotee association help us to remove our anarthas? What happens is, when you are having devotee association, sooner or later you will come to this form of associating where you reveal your mind in confidence and where you will want to hear advices. I don't know exactly why, but even materialistic people, very soon when they are with devotees, begin to tell you their life. Have you noted that? Because it's somehow with devotees, you just, this is what you do, you know, it flows naturally from you. You explain, you want to talk confidentially. I remember in Gorabhavan, we have a neighbor, and when he had marriage problems or relationship problems, first his wife came to cry with the Matajis, and explained how bad that man was. And then the man came to me and said, "These women are impossible. Can I talk with you about them?" And you know, they revealed their mind and confidence to us, Hare Krishnas. We did. I got to talk to your brother or someone who is close. I don't know you so very well. No, you're best. It's somehow when you see devotees who are kind and who are not aggressive, maybe that's because they are vegetarians also, you feel confident that you can talk about what's in your mind. It somehow happens. Only if you're a stone pillar like this, you will not feel you should practice revealing the mind and confidence. But every normal human being reveals his mind at one point or another in the devotee association, even non-devotees do it. Rupa Goswami discusses this as one of his ways of association with devotees. So anattas, you must know, are like mushrooms. Mushrooms can only grow in the shadow. That is, your secret bad behavior, the anattas, it works and then you have the shadow over them. But when there's light, it just doesn't grow any longer. Put a champignon, that's a French fungus or whatever, mushroom, champignon, put him in the sun, he will die. So put your anatta in the association of devotees, talk about it, or mostly they see, and it will die. Therefore, when we do bad things, we just don't want to be with devotees. That's a worst place for us. We feel like, let me get away. I don't want to be with these people. Sooner or later, they just know everything about me. Oh, I am so foolish that I talk what's in my heart. Therefore, when you are doing bad, you just want to run away. Run away, quick. Run. Come at the last point of the seminar. Don't go in the whole seminar. It's dangerous. We will lose your anattas. Don't be with the devotees, This is how it removes anatta. First, the psychological mirror function, which happens in all types of association, but then going on a deeper level, the devotee association, that is somehow, because it's done and it's arranged by Krishna, this is what happens. The anattas are revealed and you don't like it. It's too strong for you. If you want to keep also anatta. See, an anatta is a bad problem because you think it's valuable when you have it. You think it, you don't agree that this is unvaluable. You feel it's something you need to protect carefully from exposure. Therefore, I think a good translation for anatta is also secret bad behavior. So, that is something. What happens what happens with these anattas also. How will devotee association remove our anattas? My tip to you is, for all of us who are interested in this question, is, my really tip is, sometimes when we have an anatta, we are honest. Now, I do like this very blunt and honest talk. We don't really want to give it up. I had one person in Germany said to me, I can't share the nice. I said, are you initiated? You gave a promise? Or so let me ask you a question. You say you can't share. Can I ask you now to be perfectly honest? Is it that you can't chant, or is it more that you do not want to chant? How did you know? It's not so difficult. You don't want to chant. So with an anatta, usually if it's really an anatta, it's not that you can't give it up. That would be easy. It's that you don't want to give it up. So my real recommendation to you is, this is a troublesome situation. You may mask it and say, I'm so weak, I can't. Why are you not honest to yourself, Krishna? Why don't you admit you don't want to give it up? What benefit is there? So, then you should pray, my dear Krishna, I have this, you know it, and I suffer from hridai dhubalya, a very weak heart at this moment. I cannot honestly say I want you to remove this, but what I can say is, honestly, that I see this is not good. Please help me to get a taste in your service. Please overwhelm my life with a higher taste, because as you have spoken in the Gita, then it is easy for a conditioned soul to give up the unimportant. You have said in the Gita that only by experiencing a higher taste is it possible to give up the lower taste. So flood my heart with your mercy and your kindness. And do it. And if you are if you're super honest, you can even say, do it gently. Because this is how we feel as human beings. I know I'm also born out of human beings. I know both. Can you say something?
Just one point.
Must say one point.
I think it's Bhajan Rahasya. I don't know if that quote describes the Vyrakis. It talks about the effects of the Vyrakis bring about the six enemies of the mind: lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. And he says these cause the six waves, which are birth, death, hunger, thirst, lamentation, and illusion. But then, of course, there is the formula for giving up to anattas, and that is the process of bhakti, the association of devotees as flowers. But then he gives a little added, some good news. And that is, he says that by staying in Harinam Sankirtan, the kirtan of the holy name, it crushes an arthas fast. So this is where we can, when we say remove an arthas faster, we just stay more in the kirtan. Not only stay, but participate enthusiastically in kirtan. We can watch our arthas fly away by the holy name. Okay. Practice should be related to what we say. Our practice should be related to what says the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, who in this regard represents Sadhu. Yeah. Well, that is the basis of truth, to understand principles of devotional life and to act according to Scripture. Scripture is the basis of all knowledge, and Guru is the realized form of Scripture. By giving that knowledge so it is understandable and practicable, and Sadhu gives evidence to the tradition to show that what the Guru is saying is actually coming from those who are also practicing in the past. So the Sadhu is just like we, Srila Prabhupada would speak about the process of devotional service, and he would say, we follow, or we are followers of Rupa Goswami. So he would give reference to Rupa Goswami's teachings as the basis for all his explanation of how to practice devotional service. And Rupa Goswami got his knowledge directly from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this case, the sadhu would be Rupa Goswami. And so that, of course, there are many sadhus, and we quote sadhus in order to give, what we say, support to whatever we do and say. And if the present acharya is not following the principle of sadhu, then he may be questioned on basically what he is saying. Just like I give you an example, how Prabhupada made a statement. But without giving a scriptural reference, he gave a sadhu reference. So it was interesting how he presented. He says, never trust your mind. Never trust your mind. He says, where that is written, it is not known. But the acharyas speak like this. Now here's an example of sadhu. Without shastra, but sadhu is actually living shastra. So we can take, okay, Prabhupada is quoting the previous acharyas, who are also pure devotees in the line of Krishna himself. We can take that as a principle of truth and practice. Okay, does that make sense? So sadhu is referred to in the guru, and we should also refer to the sadhus and we're trying to understand the principles of devotional service. But our immediate, and this is very important to understand, because sometimes apparently sadhu and guru are the same, maybe different, but guru is teaching according to time, place, and circumstance. And so one has to understand the principle of practice according to the present spiritual master. Prabhupada adjusted principles in order to practice devotional service. But when it comes to foundational spiritual teachings, we can't adjust them. And when Prabhupada was asked, how do you know the difference between a principle and something that is not changeable, a philosophical teaching that is foundational, and a detail, what's the difference? Prabhupada's only answer was, that requires intelligence. That was his answer. So by hearing from our spiritual masters and understanding the teachings of Krishna consciousness, we develop the intelligence to understand how to practice devotion.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Chandramouli Maharaj, for your participation in this, for giving answers. So we have now reached our time limit. We will think with our organizational team what to do with the rest of your questions, and most probably we will get a creative answer. We want to end now here on time because we still have a very, very important program before us, which where we absolutely require our full participation. Vandana will Don't tell us about this. And Vinayananda, you are also here, so please stay.
Hare Krishna. So we arrived together with Anton Jeremy, and now it's our final day of the retreat. Tomorrow is the closing lecture, so today we will not like publicly or officially finish it, but we will celebrate our discoveries throughout the whole day. And I want to personally thank from my side, but also in the name of the whole team, Sharanagati team, who is working on developing these seminars, your contributions, especially with the group works and the workshops. We heard yesterday that it's not always easy to find time and to practice everything, because you also want to chant and so on, but really it's something which is helpful in your own spiritual life. And in these retreats, besides just listening to the classes and also practicing chanting, we wish to create a community spirit, so to say. And engaging in workshops, which we're going to present this evening, and then seeing how we can learn from each other is just like one way. There are, of course, innumerable ways, but we have chosen this time this way. So this evening, we are going to become the listeners of our retreat participants, our neighbors, our friends, and so on, who did something, who really thought well how to present something which we have taught in this retreat, so that we can also learn through artistic performances and culture. And the program, you know, at 11 o'clock we're going to meet here for the workshop, which is not going to be anything else but chanting japa. And we will speak after this class just briefly, because it's getting really hot, that we maybe shift and go to the terrace on the first floor, because it's more airy and cool, so that we can really chant and not become tired and sleepy and so on. And then
is we... Are you sure, or do you still investigate the place to sleep for
that? We went over a few times, and it's peaceful and nice, but we wanted to see what you think about it.
Yeah, I think
you
can just
tell
that it was
okay.
It's a great idea.
Okay, so
I was yesterday there. It's really oof, pleasant, and then we don't have to find so much.
Yes. Okay, and maybe if we could just ask you to take each one of you can take like 2-3 or a few cushions, so that we have nice things to sit on, because it's a very cold floor, and so that we can all sit. And okay, so, and then we will end by 1 o'clock, and we will have a big feast, which is prepared by some of you, and under the guidance of Ngenra Prabhu. And then after the feast, at 6 o'clock, we will start our evening program. And also we are discussing to shift the evening program to the terrace where we usually were eating prasadam, because many more devotees are expected and to join us for the celebration. And also some, hopefully some people from this village. So the place here, we will really have to shrink a lot. And we have experience that it's also very hot and there is not enough air. So we will tell you this after the workshop, but 90% we will go outside at the terrace. We're just waiting for the confirmation of the hotel staff that we really can do kirtans outside. Yes?
That they will prepare many things in once we want to shift all this outside, that it will spoil all their art.
And also music.
All their arrangements.
We talked about music and sound, it's possible. So let's discuss this after this. Okay. And now I have a few points to announce. One is that anytime such retreats are facilitated, we also try to facilitate your experience after the retreat, or the retreat part two. And for this, in our team, we develop training letters, which we send out every second week for 5 weeks, 5 times, so it's 10 weeks altogether. And these training letters are designed in such a way that they summarize usually what we have learned in the retreats. And then they give you practical exercises, which you could exercise for, let's say, 2 weeks time, and then you get another training letter and so on. So please, in order to receive your training letters, you will need your email addresses, and we will put on that window there, or the door, we will put two of these flip chart papers, and please write in your best handwriting, because many times we just cannot read the email address, and then we cannot send out the training letter, of course. And also, some of you who have been on previous retreats, you have mostly the question, do I need to sign up again, because I already did. So we will request a yes with another time, because each retreat has a different training letter. Of course, it's a different group of devotees, and it's for different subject matters which are being discussed. So please sign up again. And Shamasaki will put these two papers out so you can sign up. Then this orange box, which was the question box, so to say, we will empty the questions, and as Mahara said, we will see what to do with them, but it will become your feedback box. Please, we are also very, very keen on receiving your feedbacks. How did the retreat go for you? What did you like? Are there some feedback about things we can improve from our side as the organizers, and so on? Please, all feedbacks are welcome, because this is the way. By, like 2 years ago, when we had a retreat also here in Croatia, we had a much more intense schedule. So 60% of the feedback was, we need more time, we need more free time. So this time we really tried to give you more free time. And but still, you see, we are in development constantly because we want to serve you. And that's why your feedback is also very, very important. So please, don't be shy, but also if you have something nice you would like to write, it's also welcome. Then for the groups, for the workshop groups who are presenting this evening, just briefly after I finish, I think Philip and Janavi and Anuradha and some will just let you know when to meet and what time and where. And then also today there is not going to be the optional japa session. I heard it was put on the schedule from 5 to 6, but unfortunately we will not have it. So just that you know.